Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Greens, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Yellows, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Purples, do you believe this? Okay, it was all right, but I think now you've practiced, we'll do it one more time. Okay, let's get it really spot on. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Shall we pray as we think about this, those words of Jesus together? Loving Lord, we thank you for this wonderful miracle that Jesus did, what it teaches us about himself. And we just pray, Lord, you give us understanding into what that means, what it means for us personally today and in the future. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, I wonder if any of you knew the names of the people on the sheets. Yes. Yeah? I assume you knew all of them. There's only one I didn't really know, okay, I wasn't sure about. And it was the lady in the bottom right-hand corner. Who thinks they know who that is? The lady in the bottom right-hand corner. What was that, Margaret? Vera Lynn. Was it Vera Lynn? It's Vera Lynn. I think everything else, I think you probably, was probably quite straightforward. But there's a question at the bottom, which is saying, what do they all have in common? What do all these people have in common? Now, I spoke to Ewan at the start of the service, and he had quite an interesting answer to this. So I'm going to ask Ewan just to tell us a little bit about what he thought all these different people had in common. Ewan, go for it.
They're all Manchester United supporters.
Listen.
Sean Connery signed a contract for Man United for 3 years, but gave it up because he realised football finished at the age of 30, so he went into acting.
Is that
the
on?
Queen.
Yeah, just do it closer.
The Queen was at the 77 FA Cup final, so she was for Sporting United as well. And her husband's obviously going to follow. Stephen Hawking's the brainiest man in the world, obviously would know who the greatest team are. John Lennon's from Liverpool, and the best team around that area's got to be United. And Pavarotti, even though you couldn't understand what he was singing about, he was singing about United. And the Queen, obviously, the old Queen, she knows United were an old team, so she followed them from the start. And Vera Lynn always has followed United.
Thank you, Ewan. Ingenious, but the wrong answer. It's much simpler than that. It's much simpler than that. Who thinks they know what they all have in common? Elijah, what do you think they all have in common? Nice and loud into the microphone.
They've all died.
Nice and loud.
They've all died.
They've all died. You're absolutely right. All these people are people of the past, people who have died. Thank you very much. They're all people who've died. And do you know that 120 years from now, basically, assuming Jesus doesn't return before, 120 years from now, every human who's currently alive on this planet now will join those people on the sheet. Because death eventually comes to everyone. It's why ever since the first human died, people have been searching for the answer to death. Now, I've got some keys here. Here's some keys. Who thinks they know what this key is for? Look at that one there. Anyone know what this key is for? Look, you press that button. What do you think that key is for, Ava? What do you think?
A car.
Sorry?
A car.
A car key. Is this on, actually? I'm not sure.
Now.
It is now. Okay. Say it one more time, Ava, because I'd like everyone to hear that.
Car.
Car key. Well done. That's a car key and my van key. I've got some other keys here. Oh, look at this long one here. Who thinks they know what that is? It's a fairly sort of blunt, boring looking key, but it's quite long. Go on, shout it out, Sophia. What do you reckon?
Is it your house key?
That's not my house key. Yes. It's the shed key. Well done. Well done. I'll let the diocese know you called my vicarage the shed. There you go. And there's one other here which is looking pretty impressive. Who knows what this impressive looking key is? This is a proper old one, an old key. Thank you, Rosamond. Thank you. It was indeed. Hands up next time, please. It's the church safe key, that one there. It's a very old, old key. Yet keys to all sorts of different things. Because you see, keys unlock doors, they unlock places. And the person who holds the key to a place has authority to open that place, authority to open that door or lock. And ever since the first human died, humanity has been searching for the key to unlock death. It's the question that Job asked in the Bible. He said, if a man die, can he live again? And every culture, every nation, every people group has been asking that question. When I die, is that the end? Or is there something more? It beats in every human heart that somehow there must be something more. Somehow, somewhere, someone will have the answer, the key to unlock death. And in our passage today, we discover that that answer, the one who holds the key to death, is the Lord Jesus himself. You see, in the story we heard on the screens earlier, which was from John chapter 11, Jesus arrives at the grave of his special friend Lazarus. And he arrives at the grave with Lazarus having been dead for 4 days. Lazarus' sister, Martha, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, because Jesus, you see, had been going around healing people. If only he'd got there earlier, Lazarus wouldn't have died, she says. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let me show you my command over a balloon. Okay, I want you to watch carefully. Okay. My command over the balloon. Be blown up. Pretty impressive. It's not going to stop there, though. Look at this. Be knotted. Pretty impressive, huh? My command over a balloon. Are you impressed with that? You see, it may not seem that that's like a very amazing thing that I did, but you know, I could only blow that balloon up and tie a knot in it because I have power and authority to do that. Just think about it for a moment. Do you think a worm or a frog could have blown up the balloon and tied a knot in it? No. It doesn't have the power and authority to do that. What about a cat? Do you think a cat could have done that? No. Yeah? But I was able to do it. I was to say it's going to be blown up because I had power to blow it up. I had power and authority to tie the knot. You know, when Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life, he claimed to have power and authority, not over a balloon, but over death itself. It's why he went on to say, he who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. It's an incredible thing that Jesus is saying. It sounds almost contradictory, doesn't it? That whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that the moment someone puts their trust in him, eternal life is born in their heart. Life that will never be destroyed by physical death. And it means that if I believe in Jesus, the day my body dies is not the day that I die. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, this is an astounding thing to say. It's an outrageous claim to make when you think about it. How do we know that Jesus is telling the truth? Because these are just words, what he's saying. You know, Jesus shows that he actually has power and authority to back up this claim. Because Jesus calls for the tomb of Lazarus to be open. He calls for the tomb of Lazarus to be open, and Martha and her sister Mary, they start to panic a bit because they know that he's been in there 4 days. And this is a hot climate. I don't know if you've ever walked past a sort of something like a dead badger or something in the street that's been knocked over by a car and has been dead for a few days. But as you go past it, the dead animal absolutely stinks. It's awful. You have to sort of cross the road. Mary and Martha are thinking, Lazarus has been in there 4 days. You don't want to open that tomb at all. And yet Jesus says to open that tomb. And in a loud voice, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. Now, if anyone said that, nothing would happen, would they? Anyone could say it, but nothing would happen. Because we don't have that sort of authority. And yet Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And John tells us that the man who'd been dead for 4 days came out with his burial bandages still on him. Jesus reversed death for Lazarus. You see, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead because Jesus has the keys to death. In fact, he's more than that. He doesn't just have the key to death. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the key to death. He is the power and authority over death. It's all bound up in who he is, because he is God in human flesh. And the ultimate proof of his claim is seen not only in the resurrection of Lazarus, but actually his own resurrection from the dead that first Easter Sunday, showing that he had authority to both lay his life down and authority to take it up again. So when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was saying that he has power to give us life now that will never die, even when our bodies die. And he has resurrection power to one day raise our bodies from the dead, just like he raised Lazarus, just like he raised his own body to eternal life. You know, this is the same Jesus who appeared to the Apostle John, who wrote this gospel, when he was a prisoner on the island of Patmos at the end of his life. And he appeared in a vision to John, and he said these words to John. He said, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. Jesus holds the keys to death. He's conquered death forever through his death on the cross. And he wants to conquer it in your life and my life too, so that we can live forevermore, so that we never need to fear death. The question that Jesus asks us all this morning is the same question that he asked Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That whoever believes in him, even though he die, he will live. And whoever believes in him will actually ultimately never die. Do you believe those words of Jesus? That's the question we're going to discuss on the table. Now, we're not looking for a right answer here. We're looking for honesty. So be honest, if you do believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, explain why to others on the table. If you don't believe that that promise of Jesus is true, then explain why you don't believe it's true. That's fine. Be honest. So you can ask the first question, do you believe this? And then the second question to discuss is, what difference does it make to your life? What difference does it make to your life if you believe this to be true? We're going to spend a bit of time at our tables now talking about that. And the children, you're going to come down with Davina and Sue. You're going to come down to the carpet down the bottom and have a special time with both of them. So children down on the carpet, the rest of us, brief discussion round the table for the next 3 or 4 minutes.